right, I'd like to welcome you to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, saving our community. Now, if we save a soul along the way, that's just icing on the cake. The mission here is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. And we do that with business development, job creation, and service. So if you ever find yourself at a business crossroads and not sure which way to turn, I would like for you to turn on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show, because we are on a mission. We have businesses to develop, jobs to create, community to serve. And if I have my way about it, these things are going to happen. But I ask you to join me, to help me. Can't do it alone. I cannot do it alone. That's why I bring in the some heavyweights. That's why I make this entreaty every week at 10:30 a.m. here on Radio 1 out of Silver Spring, Maryland, right outside the nation's capital. I'd like to welcome all of the new listeners. And for those who have been hanging in there with me for the last almost 8 years, the good thing is was really inspiring and just really tantalizing. When I get off the air, I get these tweets, I get these emails, I get texts. People from all over the country, people I hadn't seen in 20 years, people who have found me, stumbled across the show through accident or by referral, people who are regulars, people who are my clients, family members, fraternity brothers. It's really an humbling experience, and that's why I feel I have to continually step up my game and deliver good information, and that is what I intend to do. But ultimately, my goal is to enlighten and uplift our community so that we have an opportunity to pursue this American dream, as they call it. But it can be your individual dream. And on this week of this kickoff of Black History Month, we're going to personalize it so that we make sure that we honor and acknowledge the people who have made contributions to the country in general and to our community in particular. I always have a great lineup of co-hosts, people who add commentary, add input, bring their own story and skill sets to this mic. Today is no exception. I have attorney Tisha Hillman. She is accomplished in her own right. She has her own show on Blog Talk, and she's here every first Friday of the month. Welcome to the show, Attorney Hillman.
Thank you, Robert. Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners. Happy Black History Month.
Yes, indeed. Black History Month has a we're going to kick off this month with honoring this is our first show of February. Man, can you believe this? What happened to January, teacher? What did you do with January?
Well, let me tell you something about January.
Please.
January needed to get out of here because she was tripping.
Oh.
January brought us some crazy, as it does, you know.
January was, it was time for it to go, huh?
It was time. You know, it was time. The weather couldn't get it together. You know, January was just, you know, maybe February is our do-over month. How about that?
Yeah, January was like that house guest that won't go. You know, you done flip the lights on, you start yawning, and say, oh, I got that assignment in the morning, and but they done, you got that guest done set near the booth, done got them a nice, comfortable chair, and they not going anywhere. Look out there, there's only one car in the parking lot, and that's that person's. And January, the guest that stayed too long. We had a president acting the fool in January, as always. So you're right. I'm ready for to do a reboot in February and just keep going upward and onward. And so in honoring and recognition of Black History Month, just some quick history on that month itself. It was also known as African American History Month. And it started, it's actually observed in the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, and the Netherlands. I don't think many people knew that.
Right. I don't think many African Americans knew that.
No, it's actually started as Negro History Week back in 1926 when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. Now, they chose that week to coincide with the birthday of Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and Frederick Douglass on the 14th. And, of course, black folks love them some Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. I'm surprised they didn't throw a Kennedy in there and a white Jesus. but we've grown. We continue to grow and evolve. Now, it became Black History Month in 1976. Actually, it started on the black students at the Kent State University in February of 1969. Later that year, up in the 1970s, and 1960 years later, it became Black History Month, and it was actually acknowledged by Gerald Ford.
See, and that's where you confused me, because I thought you said January. I was so confused.
I said January. Oh, I'm sorry. That means January.
I thought you said January.
No, February. But, you know, it's weird, though. This is so weird. All these Republicans end up in the middle of these landmark events in our community. For instance, Ronald Reagan is the one that signed Martin Luther King's birthday into existence. And now Gerald Ford was the one that recognized Black History Month. I had to think about that. Anyway, the United Kingdom started celebrating it in 1987, Canada in 1995. Now, some of the challenges and criticisms have been that some people feel like it shouldn't be a Black History Month, that we should be celebrating Black accomplishments throughout the year. People like Stacey Dash and Morgan Freeman, they are not necessarily fans of Black History Month. And there are some people who are really conscious people who said, look, we don't want to be celebrated because it kind of denigrates us and makes us look like we're looking for some kind of recognition when we should be recognizing ourselves. I would be curious what the listeners, do you think there should be a Black History Month? Why and why not? The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. I've actually kind of gone back and forth myself. Sometimes, like when my daughter was very young, I was wrestling with, do I start telling her about the Black history and the past, about, of course you want to give her the combination of that we were kings and queens and civilization started over in Africa and all that good stuff. But in the midst of that, you still have to lay in the layers of slavery and Jim Crow and her little mind, which was, you know, just as pure as the driven snow. Do you want to put that in her and have her start questioning her equality with the little white kid that she's going to run into and people of other races? So I think that's something that parents kind of wrestle with. It's like, do I just send her out there and let her fight it out and learn it through the school of hard knocks? Do I tell her about it? What do I tell her? So, but anyway, I chose to enlighten her and tell her about the history, and she turned out okay. So, but I'd also like to hear your story on that. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. What do you think about that, teacher? Is that something, what do you think that is? I'd like to hear your perspective.
Do we celebrate it?
Do we celebrate it? Do we tell our kids early on that there is a difference between them and other races? Just curious. I'm sure everybody has a different spin.
Well, you know, I am of the belief, absolutely, that we do need to not only be celebrated, but to also to celebrate ourselves. That is absolutely true. And yes, I also believe that we need to celebrate ourselves more than once a year, right? More than for, you know, the shortest month of the year. But I hold the belief that being forewarned is to also be forearmed, or the forearmed is forewarned, whatever.
I got you.
So yeah, that is the other one. I think we would do our kids a disservice if we did not tell them and have the talk, as we call it, right? Have the talk with our children,
right?
Because, you know, think about if you didn't know, if your parents didn't have the talk with you the first time you experienced being treated differently because of the color of your skin, what that would have made you feel like, as if even having the talk, as if it still doesn't affect you, but maybe it softens the blow because you're prepared and you know that these things are going to happen, and you are aware of why these things happen.
Right, right.
But when it comes to celebrating and appreciating who we are, you know, I do want to say that, you know, I am loving, first of all, this resurgence of blackness
mm-hmm.
and this resurgence of appreciating who we are as a people,
right.
Because I think it's absolutely beautiful. But I think one of the things that we want to make sure is that it's not just a fad, but that we really are learning to fall in love again with who we are after, you know, cultural appropriation and after Jim Crow and after, you know, the discrimination and everything that we have to deal with as a people, that we really learn to embrace each other. Because I think that one of the things that happens very often, and I don't know if this is something that you've seen, Robert,
mm-hmm.
but one of the things that I've seen is I think sometimes because of the things that we have experienced with trying to assimilate into the dominant culture, that we can be so much harder on ourselves as
yes.
a people
yes.
than
yes.
we are on everyone else. And so I love this resurgence, and I hope that it progresses into more love of not only self, but love of our people collectively.
All right. That is truer words have never been spoken. You're listening to The Marketing Pulpit with Robert Gatewood and attorney Tisha Hillman. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. You can also go to marketingpulpit.com, visit our website and find out more information about myself and our other hosts. And also find out about our guests and listen to some of the past shows. We're celebrating Black History Month. This is the first Friday in February. I just want to, as you were saying, this new appreciation and acceptance and no longer apologizing, Tisha, I just want to share with the audience. I want to celebrate a specific demographic in our community today, which I feel like doesn't get enough credit, and that is our Black women. Just to share a few numbers with you. Did you know that Black women owned businesses skyrocketed by 322% in the last 22 years? African-American women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in America. That's including all demographics. That means...
I didn't know that.
That's exactly right. The number of Black-owned business grew by 322% since 1997, and they own roughly 14% of all businesses in the country, and they account to about 1.3 million businesses total, and that hires about 300,000 workers and generating about $52.6 billion in revenue. That's Black women. Also, Black women vote more than any other demographic. We saw back in last year, when Doug Jones defeated Roy Moore, it was Black women that pushed him over the threshold. And it was also by really getting 98% of the Black women vote. And, of course, the 63% of white women voted for Moore, the accused pedophile. Black women also were tantamount in the Hillary Clinton by her having the most popular vote. So Black women is the most voting demographic of all. And here's one that just really blows your mind. Black women are now the most educated group in the United States. A new report confirmed that Black women are now the most educated group. Now, they still have a way to go to get pay parity, but between races, Black women are the most highly educated. They have the highest percentage of advanced degrees, not just among people in Black people, but among women in general. That means they're...
Say that for me one more time, Robert. Say that one more time, please.
Including all races, there are more Black women that have advanced degrees and college degrees than Asian women, white women, and any other demographic, including white men. So, folks, let's celebrate African-American history in general and our Black women, in particular Black women. We love you. Just keep on going. Marketing Pulpit has your back, and I'm glad to have one here on the line with me today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after the break, continuing on Black History Month. Marketing Pulpit, right after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOL at 95.9 FM.
Good morning. This WOL traffic and weather update brought to you by Compassion International. Northbound on the 12th Street Expressway as you head past the freeway up toward Constitution Avenue. Roadwork in the right lane, slow leaving the freeway as a result. On 210 northbound, a little slow still, Livingston Road up to Kirby Hill Road. On 295 northbound, roadwork in the right lane is after East Capitol Street in delays up from the 11th Street Bridge to get by it. Becoming a child sponsor with Compassion International will bring hope to a child in poverty. Find out how at compassion.com/radio. Now your WOL weather forecast for today. Clouds and sun, windy, and temperatures dropping through the 30s. Clear overnight tonight, down to 19 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high near 40 degrees. Steve Hirshhorn for 1450 AM and 95.9 FM WOL, where information is power.
Ooh, this is the Marketing Pulpit, and we are celebrating African-American women today, as well as kicking off Black History Month, which is the month of February. Some people say, hey, why do we have the shortest month? Man, we always getting the short end of the stick, daggone it. But you know what? There's a video out made by Will Smith, and it's getting a lot of talk. Just look it up on Google. He's talking about victimhood and how there's a difference between responsibility and fault, that no matter what, basically he's saying in a nutshell, no matter what you've been through, you can fault, you can blame, but ultimately the responsibility falls back on you to climb yourself out of that hole, no matter how you got there. And I think that's something that, regardless of how you look at it, some people saying he's giving a pass to the oppressors and the people who have their feet on our neck. And that may be, some of that is probably true, but regardless, that's one thing my dad taught me. And I, of all the people I want to celebrate, it would be my parents on this Black History Month. My dad never, we were poor as Tom's turkey. We slept in our house, about four or five of us in a bed. My dad wouldn't take the parsonage that the church offered him. I didn't understand at the time. I thought he was being a knucklehead. We're out here cold, and the church is offering him this nice, warm parsonage with heat and running water and indoor toilet. He had us out there in this little shack, and we freezing to death. But he never really pounced on us about what we didn't have. As far as we knew, we were doing fine. We didn't know what other people had, because that wasn't our focus. Because he never focused on what we didn't have. All we knew, that we had food, we had a shelter, a roof over our head, we had parents that loved us, we had brothers and sisters, we supported each other. Even though we were sharecroppers, we picked the fields. We climbed ourselves out of the hole of poverty, and we never really considered ourselves poor. I didn't realize that we were poor until I started being around other people. I thought we were doing fine. And I think that goes to what Will Smith was saying. You can't get so distracted on how you got into your situation or who put you there. Your focus should be tunnel vision on how to get out of it and how to get yourself up and pursue the brass ring. And that's, I think, those are the words we can live by. As I trumpeted a moment ago, I think that if a lot of the Black women that we were celebrating with those startling statistics, I think many of them never really, I think the ones that are making these strides, they don't spend a lot of time worrying about what the fact there's this crazy pay parity, whereas Black women are still paid only about 64 cents on the dollar of what a white man gets paid. But yet, in spite of that, these sisters are soldiering on. They're still going to college. They're still voting. They're still starting businesses without looking back. They're looking straight ahead, and that's what we have to do. If we take no other lesson from this month, let's look at the example that has been set by the prolific Black women in our midst. And I'm just proud to have Tisha Hillman. She's also setting the example of, she's like the poster girl, poster boy of what, of how this thing, she's the personification, linguistically astute. She's the embodiment, the personification of these statistics I just read off. So thank you, teacher. Thank you. Just glad to have you as a host on the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. What are you going to talk about in the next segment?
So, you know, first of all, thank you so much for celebrating Black women. Thank you for bringing attention to the statistics, because I think that sometimes as people, how we get into this victimhood mentality is we are constantly attacked for everything, beat down by society. Right. You know what I mean? And and as Black women, to watch your lips and your hips and your hair and your skin tone and everything else be appropriated and celebrated when it's not on a Black body is or can be difficult. And so to know that you still have to fight through all of these things and yet still be the backbone of all things, because, you know, I personally believe that, you know, Black women are queens. I believe that we are the earth mothers.
Amen.
And so, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to have to be the strong one, because what happens when you don't feel so strong? Who do the strong go to when they feel weak?
Right. That's exactly right. I feel you.
And so I appreciate the opportunities to not only to be celebrated, but also, like I said before, to remind each other to celebrate each other and to not be so hard on each other, because we get it from society.
That's right.
And so to be able to come to my brothers and my sisters and find a place of peace would be great. And so I'm so proud to celebrate Black History Month and to celebrate my brothers and sisters and to celebrate the victories and everything that we've overcome and that we will continue to overcome. And so I'm thankful for that. This is not a segue at all, because I don't even know how you segue into this from that. But I'm going to be talking to people today about child support and DNA testing.
Okay.
Because a lot of times people don't know how paternity and child support can work and the ways that people can be determined to be a parent and be obligated to pay child support, even if you later find out that you're not the parent.
Right.
And so, again, I believe that information is power. And so if I can provide information to people to either help them in a situation or help them out of a situation, then I've done my job.
All right, folks, that's coming up at the 11 o'clock hour. And thank you again, Tisha, for being a shining beacon on a hill and an inspiration for other young Black women who are watching you and just know people in general. If you want to contribute, everybody can do something. Everybody can do something. If you do nothing else, just try to be an example for others to follow. And as you're doing things, that you're making moves, that you are making an impact, whether you state it, whether you put it on a headline, just know that the young people are watching your every move. And if you don't believe me, just hang around a young person long enough, and all of a sudden they're picking up your words, they're picking up your where you walk. And if you're running a business, next thing you know, they want to be a business owner. If you're in the government, they want to be a government worker. If you're a teacher, they want to be a teacher. That's not by accident. So we have to really be cognizant of what we do, how we represent ourselves, and how we want to be remembered. I'm going to talk about quickly that today. I'm trying to get to two topics. First one I want to talk about is artificial intelligence. We hear about that quite a bit nowadays. Everybody's, what in the heck is artificial intelligence? You're going to be hearing it and seeing it more often in the coming months and weeks and years. And it's a way of, it's also called machine intelligence. It's really like when machines and computers take on some of the cognitive attributes of a human mind. They're actually thinking machines. And so artificial intelligence, whether you realize it or not, when you're going to websites, when you're going into stores, when you're seeing things happen now and you go to a website and all of a sudden you visit it one time, now every time you look up that website that you visited, it's popping up on your phone, it's popping up all over the place. Well, folks, that's AI or artificial intelligence at work. Now, whether you realize it or not, about 54% of retail marketers now are using AI, and they're using it to personalize, and it's driving their growth. Now, this is what, just in case you're wondering how this AI works and how it may affect you and how to determine how to put that particular ad in front of you or to send you that certain email or to recommend that certain product. These are some of the algorithms they use in AI, some of the common algorithms that are used in AI to determine who you are and what your habits are. About 55% of that AI is based on the pages and the content that you view on the websites that you go to. So when you go to a website, AI is looking at the pages that you visit and the content that you read on the website. So that's about 55% of it. About 47% is based on your location. So when you're, every computer now has an IP address, and it's no secret where you are visiting from. In the old days, you felt like you had some type of anonymity in your computer. Just know that's not the case anymore. Right now, there's software. You can go to a website. They know your name, and they sometimes they never tell you, but most of the time they don't tell you. But they know, actually know your name. They know where you're calling from. They have your phone number. Sometimes they even have your credit score in front of them while you are visiting their website. Thanks to
Wait. What do you think about that, Robert? I feel some kind of way. I feel violated.
Well, you know, it was. I tell you the truth, teacher. There's been a trade-off between personal privacy and convenience. When people, when you open up your phone and it says, "Do you want this app to be able to track your location?" Well, it can't tell you how to get to that store if it doesn't know where you are, more or less, from where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, "Okay, go ahead and take my location." Well, there's this chipping away. That's just a small example. But in a broader sense, we are constantly trading privacy for convenience. And that has been the basis of artificial intelligence. That's why it has made such a strong impact in the last few years. So, yes, when you go to your website, there's this data mining. When you go to these different websites, there's some data mining that hasn't happened before you got there. And they can cross-check on based on your credit score, your online profiles, different other databases they tapped into. All they have to do now is to connect that information to your IP address on your computer. It pings off a tower. And so they know exactly who you are on that website. I know it's kind of creepy, but this is the Marketing Pulpit. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment, have a Teacher Hillman, but we're also going to finish up on artificial intelligence. My name is Robert Gatewood. I have Teacher Hillman. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS at 95.9 FM.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
There to get his high school diploma. It was very hard for me, but Ms. Araceli, she gave me direction.
At age 47, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the
News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL with Tom Joyner in the morning. Reverend Al Sharp. Carl Nelson. C. Al. Pat Thornton. The Marketing Pulpit. Nikita Floyd. Barbara Arnwine. Dr. Mariah. Power Talk. Dr. Quarter. Butch McAdams. Moon Man. Harbor Lights. Hope Housing. And Reverse Mortgage. Listen worldwide at WOLDCnews.com and follow us on Instagram at WOLDC News. News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL, where information is power.
1450 WOL Washington, W240BJ Washington, 95.9 WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
We are celebrating Black History Month in general and black women in particular. This particular show and the platform is another good example of the accomplishments of black women. Of course, the station is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes, who also had a school of communication named after her over at Howard University. That's your alumni there, Tisha. So here's a good example right here at, yes, indeed. So that's,
I didn't go to Howard.
Oh, you didn't go to Howard. That's right. You went to North Carolina Central. My bad. Okay. NC. All right. My bad. All right. But Howard right here in our midst. And, of course, Miss Karen Jackson over here, the head of the sales department. We just have black, powerful women all around us. And we also have on the line Miss Attorney Tisha Hillman. We're talking about, she's going to talk about later on a very interesting topic. And she always brings a very good topic to us, and we're going to be tuning in to that in a minute. I was talking about artificial intelligence. It's one of those things that we hear about in the background, and people mention it, and they kind of like, you kind of glaze over it because you don't understand what it is. But it's actually just thinking machines. It's computers and technology thinking like humans, having some of the same cognitive capabilities as a human brain. That's why they call it artificial intelligence, which is the kind of like the opposite of natural intelligence, which is human intelligence. We're talking about some of the ways that marketers can personalize your online experience through AI or artificial intelligence. I had mentioned that the pages that you visit on your website, your location, your online behavior. That means your engagement. When you get to a website, what do you do when you get there? Are you clicking? Are you sharing? Are you commenting? That's another way that marketers are using artificial intelligence to personalize your experience. About 43% of the marketers use demographics. Now, that's really how, that's from old school marketing. That's nothing new, but the artificial intelligence agents are using demographics. That's your age, your race, your income, marital status, things like that, to personalize that experience. And as we said earlier, sometimes it can be kind of creepy and alarming, the amount of information. And sometimes we kind of just brush these things off. Say, how in the heck did that darn computer know that I was just looking at a business card? All of a sudden, VistaPrint is popping up on your phone. It's popping up on your desktop. Well, all these things are connected now, folks. You have an IP address. You have a server. You have an internet provider. You have websites and all this kind of stuff. And all you got to do is just keep putting those pieces together, and it weaves a personal profile. And that information is now available electronically in digital formats and is shared across the internet. And that's how AI, artificial intelligence, gets all this good information. And, of course, one of the last ones of how marketers use AI to personalize your experiences through your device type, whether you're using an iPhone or smartphone, a tablet, or a desktop. So you take all these things together, and artificial intelligence can pretty much think just like a human, or even better in some cases, because a human is not going to remember all this stuff. These computers have unlimited memory. Now, as a marketer, and some people are probably saying, "Well, I'm an old schooler. I'm not using any of this stuff. How am I being left behind?" Well, you probably may be using it and not even realize it. Particularly if you're in any type of reseller or an affiliate. Let's say if you're an affiliate of a travel company or a travel site, they may be using it. And by virtue of your being an affiliate or a partner or a reseller, then you are also using it. So you can't say I'm just sitting on the sidelines. You may be using it and participating in it and not even be aware of it, because this stuff does happen behind the scenes. Now, what makes AI successful, this is some of the success parameters are, one, you have to collect good data, make sure the data is accurate. And then you want to be data-layered and not data-driven. There's a difference. You want to be overt when you are collecting this information. Let people know that you are being a that you're collecting information as a good AI company or good somebody who's been practicing AI. They should let people know that they're collecting this information. They should act on it first. I mean, early. Don't collect somebody's information and pop up 2 years from now. That will start to look creepy. And B, solve people's problems. Identify their pain points. And people will forgive you for collecting all this information. If you're fixing things, you're making things that are broken, you're mending things that are broken, you're fixing things that have been undone. And I think people have kind of decided either consciously or subconsciously that I don't mind giving up a little bit of information if it makes my online experience more pleasurable. And that's kind of the world. That's just artificial intelligence in a nutshell. Of course, I can't give you the whole answer and all the nuances on a one-hour show, but I just wanted to introduce it to you. And we'll be talking about this more in the future. We have a caller on the line. Mr. Miles, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I listen to your show, Robert. It seems like I'm in class. It reminds me of being in college. You know, just so much information you absorb just by listening to Mark and Pulpit, because sometimes I guess people don't realize how astute information is and how it recycles. So I'm just taken back by, you know, just listening to you and the different guests you have on and different topics you have on your show. So I just want to, you know, call in and tell you, you know, hey, I'm very appreciative of that and getting the opportunity to work with you and you know, you being a sponsor, we being a sponsor of your program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Miles. And also I want to thank you for being a trailblazer on this Black History Month. You're what you're doing with the Minor Football League is nothing short of astounding. And I'm looking forward to you sign up any more teams this week?
Oh, absolutely. We just signed approximately 15 GMs already. And we got a great letter. We, you know, we have a team franchise in Utah. So, I mean, we, you know, it's moving fast. Guys begin to, you know, register for the combine coming up. So we kind of taking off. And we was in the office this morning, me and Kelsey, you know, we kind of going over some stuff, and she wanted to just say a couple of words. Hold on.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Robert. How are you? Good morning.
Boy, I must have thought you up. I was thinking about you this morning. I said, I haven't had Kelsey on this show in a minute.
Oh.
Well, good. I see you doing some great things out there. I think your show is international now.
I had a journalist actually from the UK come on, and we discussed their football, which, of course, is soccer. And we've had just some great success. So I'm excited that, you know, now that my show from Fox Sports that's based in Hopewell, you know, can now be heard all over the world.
And Kelsey, earlier in the show, we were celebrating and shining the light on Black women in general, and specifically on this Black History Month. And
right.
I read off some statistics, and I was telling my co-host, Tisha Hillman, who's an attorney. And then again, I look at people like yourself who are young, coming up, blazing trails, not looking back, not worrying about what the person beside them is doing, and not being deterred by the fact that Black women get about 65% of the pay of white men. But you just soldier on. You just keep doing what you're doing. And I just love that you strong women are setting this example. I think we're going to have a generation that's already in the making, that's going to be really more powerful than anything we've seen. And this country is going to have to deal with it.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your kind words. And honestly, I think, you know, last year, this year, I think Black Girl Magic has just continued on. It's so amazing, you know, seeing women do all types of stuff, women in tech, you know, women in science, engineering, everything. It's like Black women are everywhere, and we are making our own trails. And you're right. I mean, we still have a lot of battles to fight. But I mean, I know growing up, you know this well, Robert. My family's from down south, and my grandmother was a sharecropper, so if she could blaze that trail for me, I know I can continue to blaze trails for others. And I know one day, hopefully, you know, that gap will eventually be closed. And this Black History Month, you know, I'm honored, you know, to share this month with so many other amazing African-American women in this country.
All right. And I also want to say, I don't want the brothers to feel like we have forgotten about them, because
we love you guys too.
The brothers are doing it too. Mr. Miles right here is an example, good example,
right.
What he's doing with the MFL And so it's a big pie. We don't, by celebrating the black women, it's taking nothing away from black men. It just means we just have to keep building a bigger pie. And the bigger the pie, we can all get a nice slice of it. So that's why I think.
Exactly. Exactly right. And I think, you know, African Americans are continuing to make their mark heard in this country, and, you know, show we're a real force. So I think you're right. It takes women and men together. And I think together, you know, we can all progress and make this country even greater.
Well, good. You guys doing the show tonight over at WEAC?
Yes, we are. We'll be doing our show live on WEAC Radio from 7 to 8 p.m. inside the MFL.
Yeah, just to let the audience know, WEAC Radio is, the MFL has its own radio show on WEAC Radio. That's 1480 a.m.
And yes, correct.
I'm also an occasional co-host. I go in there sometime and add a little business perspective, and I'm just glad to be affiliated with what Kelsey and Mr. Miles are doing. I really thank you guys and really honor you on this Black History Month.
Well, thank you so much again for having us, and I hope the rest of your show goes well, and I hope you guys enjoy the Super Bowl this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. Super Bowl weekend. All right. Guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
All right, folks. That's Mr. Richard Miles and Ms. Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and they're doing some great things at the MFL, the Minor Football League, and it's really amazing to watch that whole process come together. He said they've had 15 general managers. That means he has put 15 people to work, not to mention the players, the vendors, the trainers, the coaches. It's just a job creating machine. So anyway, I want to get to teacher. Really, tell us, give us the 101 on your topic for today, and you might introduce yourself again also.
Absolutely. And again, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so grateful for this platform to tell people information about the law and legal issues because, you know, Robert, the thing is people either they don't know or I don't think they realize that the law is kind of integrated in everything that we do. In life, and everything, it involves some particular area of the law. And, you know, I've been practicing law now for about 5 years. Actually, this year, I don't know if I told you, but I'm going to have a grand reopening, so to speak, celebration in honor of that, now being in business for almost 5 years. And we're going to do something big. So I'm pretty excited about that. But
congratulations.
I practice, and thank you very much. Thank you. I practice in the areas of family law, criminal law, and also in personal injury. And if you have a question about family law, about any of those issues, please give my office a call at 301-744-7996. And you can also visit our website at www.tshillmanlaw.com. And if you like my website, it's because it was created by the incredible Robert Gatewood.
Oh, yes.
So thank you. Thank you for that. So I wanted to tell folks about, specifically the men. You know, I know today we've been talking about celebrating women and Black History Month. I want to do something for the men and give you some information as it pertains to, paternity tests and child support.
Okay.
Now, the thing is that people don't always understand that there are several ways by which you can establish paternity. And before you can be ordered to pay child support, paternity has to be established.
Hey, teacher.
And
I want to, yes. we're coming up on a break. What I want you to do is just hold that thought. And we're going to, come back in about a moment. We're going to take a quick break. So just hold the thought before you get too wound up. I'm really getting, this is sounding like very exciting. I want to break now before you got too far into it. So you're listening to The Marketing Pulpit with Robert Gatewood and attorney Tisha Hillman. She's talking about paternity and child support. She's a regular guest. She's on the first Friday of every month. I am Robert Gatewood. My company is Gatewood Marketing. You can find out more about me by going to gatewoodmarketing.com, where we help you with your marketing, branding, advertising, web, and social needs. We're going to take a quick break, and the number is 1-800-450-7876. If you have a question for Ms. Hillman, call us, 1-800-450-7876. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS at 95.9 FM.
Good morning, this WOL traffic update brought to you by Positive Coaching Alliance. South Dakota Avenue is still closed both ways between 18th and 19th Street Northeast for the water main work that continues. Could be continuing through the weekend, so plan accordingly. If you normally head onto South Dakota Avenue between 18th and 19th, your favorite alternate will have to work for the time being. 295 northbound construction in the right lane after East Capitol Street as you slow from Pennsylvania Avenue. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA develops better athletes and better people through youth and high school sports. Info at positivecoach.org. Now your WOL weather forecast brought to you by unbound.org for today. Partly cloudy, windy, and getting colder. Highs dropping through the 30s. Clear overnight down to 19. And for tomorrow, sunny, a high near 40 degrees. What's the education of your children worth? There are children across the world who lack the privilege of going to school. Change the story for one child at unbound.org. Steve Hirschhorn for 1450 AM, 95.9 FM, WOL, where information is power.
We are celebrating Black women today. And also thanking the brothers for all your contributions and supporting these Black women. None of us work on an island. It takes somebody's support, either a grandma, a husband, a spouse, a brother, uncle, aunts, grandparents, even the kids sometimes are the ones that push us over that finish line. So we celebrate the Black women and everybody who supports them on this first Friday of Black History Month. We had on the show earlier, Mr. Richard Miles and the Minor Football League and Ms. Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Their show, the MFL Experience, comes on WEAC Radio at 7 o'clock. If you want to get a good perspective on the Super Bowl coming up this weekend and all the sports news, what's happening with the Wizards, Kirk Cousins, and the whole nine, just tune into their show. They give you a great fill you in on sports, and they give you a very good perspective, but just a different angle. And it's been I've been very honored to be associated with them. I'm one of their co-hosts. I go in about once a month and give my perspective from a business standpoint. We have a Teacher Hillman, attorney at law. She's talking about paternity and child custody. Very interesting, teacher. As you were saying.
So what I was saying, Robert, is sometimes. I get phone calls mm-hmm. where, it's usually a man mm-hmm. that will call and say, well, I just found out that the child that I've been paying for is not mine. Mm. And I want to find a way to basically de-establish paternity. And the reason I say usually a man is because there now are some very interesting issues that come up as it relates to same-sex couples. So that's a whole, a whole different issue. But for purposes of today, I want to talk about de-establishing paternity because, this happens very, very often. I'm sure you know people, Robert, mm-hmm. that have found out way after the fact that, a child that they thought was theirs is not.
Man,
the thing is,
After the legal part aside, I guess the emotion, I guess that would be a whole nother show. We have to get the therapist in here for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, that depends on how long you've been building the relationship. Right. But, in order to figure out, even if you are legally entitled mm-hmm. to a DNA test to de-establish paternity, if you will, there's basically three steps that you have to go. There's a three-step process. The first step is, has paternity already been established? Okay. Right? Because there are several ways that paternity can be established, and that leads us to the second step, which is, how was it established? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't know is that if you are married and a child is born during the marriage, that child is presumed by law to be the father's child. Right. And so because of that, it can be very, very tricky to try to de-establish paternity because there's a legal presumption that the child is yours. And so basically the burden is now on that father to prove that he's not the father.
So he's got to prove he's got to prove that the lady was creeping. Is that what he has to do?
Yes. And you know what? And that's not always easy. I actually had a case like that not too long ago, where that's exactly what happened. My client was the husband, and that's what happened. His wife got pregnant, and he was paying child support. Almost ended up, he had his tax returns taken, was about to lose. He lost his license, was about to get arrested. for not paying child support for children that everyone knew wasn't his.
Wow.
Because the court would not allow him to get a DNA test because they said there is a legal presumption that these children are yours.
Wow.
Mm. Right. And so, and people don't know that. And so it is a, it is or can be a legal hurdle to climb. And the other way that you can establish paternity is by signing the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
There's also paternity by conduct. Mm. So just like you were just saying, Robert, what is the relationship that the father has established with the child? Mm-hmm. How many years has it been?
Right.
And so you can actually establish paternity by your own conduct, by holding yourself out to be the parent. And so the problem is that if you have done these things, then the last step is where was paternity established? Because, you know, in some states, if you want to try to de-establish paternity, there's a statute of limitations.
Oh.
And the statute of limitations is basically the time period that you have to bring your cause of action. And so, say, for instance, you are in New Jersey and you want to challenge paternity, but the statute of limitations is only 2 years. And now you move. Now you're in Maryland, and Maryland doesn't have a statute of limitations. The problem is that Maryland can't undo an affidavit of parentage in another state where the statute is run.
So you're saying in New Jersey, if you have a kid that you questioning, you've got 2 years. You can't question it when the kid's in college or once they're. It has to be done in the first 2 years.
That was just an example.
Okay.
That was just an example. I have no idea what New Jersey's law is.
Okay, I got you. Okay,
that was just an example.
I got you. Okay.
So, but what I'm saying is, you know, if you are, you know, if your paternity affidavit was established in a state that has a statute of limitations, but now you're in Maryland and you're trying to de-establish paternity in Maryland courts, Maryland courts cannot undo an affidavit that's been established in a jurisdiction where the statute of limitations has already run.
Okay.
And so guess what? You're stuck.
Mm.
You're stuck. You're stuck now. At least in Maryland, you know, you're stuck paying child support for a child that may not be yours.
Let me ask you this, Keegan. Is this a big problem in the state of Maryland, you think? Do you think a lot of guys that are just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. If a woman is receiving public assistance, you have to name the father or name a father in order to receive assistance. Because guess what? The state wants their money back.
Right.
And they want to know who to go after.
Mm.
And so sometimes I've had many, many stories where somebody's name has just been put down on a piece of paper and the state is trying to collect money from them for a child that they have not had a DNA test for, maybe because they signed the birth certificate, but they don't believe the child is theirs or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so what I would say to people is if you are in the situation where you are trying to de-establish paternity or you have questions about paternity, it can be a tricky situation, as I just stated. There's several different nuances that are very important to determining whether or not you can even challenge it in the state of Maryland. So if you have questions about that or about any family law issue, give my office a call at 301-744-7996. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and to like us on Facebook if you want to keep up with some of the different things that are happening in the law that may pertain to you. Because, you know, you may learn something that can help you in your particular situation.
Wow. That's great information, folks. Call this sister. If you have a question about paternity or anything involving family law, contact her. Her website is tshillmanlaw.com. And like you said, was created by Gatewood Marketing. If you want to see some of my good work, just go to tshillmanlaw.com. We've had a very good year, by the way. Thank you, Tisha, for being a client and for the great information you provided today. As always, you bring great information to the forefront. Just glad to
have you as
a co-host. Quickly, I'm going to talk about another topic to wrap things up today. It's called critical mass. Now, critical mass is one of those things, another almost like an artificial intelligence. You hear the word, so what in the heck is critical mass? Well, if you plan for your company to ever be successful, you must achieve a critical mass. That means it is it's efficient, it's competitive, and it's able to participate in the marketplace. So you must attain a certain critical mass. Now, how do you know if you are reaching critical mass? Well, first of all, if you're getting a constant supply of referral sales, you're getting repeat business, you have an ongoing sales machine that just pumping in sales, you have a steady workforce that's not fluctuating every day, and you have a constant positive cash flow. That means you're not just going one week, you up, next week you're down. Now, there's always going to be some peaks and valleys, but you have to have a constant cash flow positive to know if you've reached critical mass. And I mentioned earlier, let's say you're starting a restaurant and you go out here, you have a big grand opening and all your relatives come and everybody comes in, bring the kid, grandma, you saying, man, I'm in business, life is good. Well, that is not critical mass. That's just a grand opening. That's called an event. To get critical mass, you must have constant business, enough business to cover your expenses day in and day out. Now, if you want to know if you haven't reached critical mass, one, if you're constantly in negative cash flow, that means you're taking money from your savings account, you're taking your personal money, you're taking your mortgage money, saying, hoping I can get it back, you have not attained critical mass. And if you have inconsistent sales, that means they're not, you put them on a chart and they look like an EKG machine, instead of going up or maintaining, you probably have not reached critical mass. So to get to critical mass, there's certain things you need to do. You need to market. You need to understand lifetime value. You need to understand cost per acquisition. You have to have a sales mechanism, advertising, good service, brand management, operations management, growth management, staffing, and a cash flow that's in the positive. Now, one of the things that we do at Gatewood Marketing, one of our goals is to get our clients to critical mass. And if you're not there yet, you need a company like Gatewood Marketing to help get you there. And that's why we've had such a great year last year, and we're starting off this year also, because we have goals in mind and we help you. We don't just give you a list of things to do like some of these companies do, then have you out there praying that they work. We actually get down into the trenches with you and help you make those things work. Folks, that's going to wrap up the show today. Thank you again for listening. Thank you to all the new listeners. Thank you to the family down in North Carolina listening all over the world. Thank you, teacher. And
thank you, Robert. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Looking forward to having you next time. Folks, that's going to wrap up the show for today. This is The Marketing Pulpit. We'll be back next week at the same time. And if you want to be successful, folks, you got to do these three things. Do the right thing at the right time, and you got to do it right. Enough talk. Let's get to work.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.
Good morning. I'm Nick Bovee. Here's the latest from NewsOne.com, brought to you by the Positive Coaching Alliance. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. More info at Positive Coaching Alliance.